You are listening to an Emmanuel Community Church podcast. For more sermons or information about the church, visit our website at www.emmanuelcommunity.org.
So I recently got a pair of Apple AirPods, which means I'm only 10 years behind the rest of humanity. They're really great, though. I mean, noise canceling, they sound good. Okay, they sound a little bassy to me, which means either I've become an audio snob or I'm officially old, or perhaps both. I wear them around the house, and my kids, they're not sure about it, because I wear them around the house, and I'm either listening to podcasts or I'm listening to music, and they've told me that I'm listening to podcasts, I mumble to myself. So I'm walking around the house, or I'm listening to music. They're like, "Dad, stop! What are you listening to?" Which is fair. It's fair. The noise canceling, though, like, it really works, right? It really works. I'm not sure if my wife is totally nuts about it. Because I'm wearing them around the house, and she walks into the room, and she says, "Hey, Sam." "Sam! Sam! Oh, I'm sorry, did you say something?" Right? Same house, same room, same moment in time, entirely disconnected. And I sometimes wonder if that's a little bit what our relationship with God feels like. It's not that he's not present, because he is. It's not that he's not speaking, because he is. It's because we've gotten really good at noise canceling, right? Distraction. We're going 100 miles an hour. And we are filling our lives with endless scrolling, entertainment, achievement, anxiety. And then on top of that, we're listening to sermons and to Christian music. I mean, we can even stream Christian music in the car, and yet God seems disconnected. Disconnected. I can listen to worship music with these too. Sounds pretty good, but it's different than being here with you. When I'm here with you, I can hear the music. I see musicians playing instruments. I can talk to them afterwards. I stand next to real people who are singing air in their lungs, and we're having a shared, real experience that sometimes is even powerful. And John says, that's what living with Jesus was like. Because we heard him. We saw him. We touched him. It wasn't just an idea for John. Jesus is a real person. So that's what we're going to dig into today. That we, at Emmanuel, want to walk in the light together. That's where we're headed. If you've been here for a while, you know that we are starting a new sermon series, and that the only reason that I'm standing on this stage is because our lead pastor, Pastor Josh, is home healing. If you haven't heard, he experienced a minor stroke. He's doing very well. Had an appointment with the doctor this week, and the doctor was very encouraging. He says, "Hey, you're doing a great job. You're on the road to recovery." So we're hopeful that we're going to see him back here soon. I also want to put your mind at rest. You're not going to have to put up with me long term, because Pastor Denny is going to be preaching, Pastor Gary. So make sure you come back and hear them as they share the word and we go through 1 John together. But let me pray for us as we get ready to jump in, for Pastor Josh, for us, that we would hear God speak. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for today. Thank you for life, for the gift that it is, for a chance to come together as your people, to connect with you, with each other. God, we love you because you first loved us. And God, we're praying, would you continue to bring healing to Pastor Josh? Lord, heart, soul, mind, and strength, bring him back to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Let's dig in. Right here at the beginning, John makes a claim. His claim is that Jesus is real. But before we get to the claim, I think it's important to understand who is John? Who is John talking to? We're going to be spending most of the summer here in 1 John. So as we get started, who is John? You might know that John was a disciple of Jesus, an apostle. And one of the things I love about John, you see this through the gospel, John was kind of awkward.
And I just love that about him.
Kind of an awkward dude. He's hanging out with John the Baptist. John the Baptist goes, look, Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John thinks, well, I should probably follow that guy. So in the text, it seems like he's following Jesus. Jesus turns around and basically says, what are you doing? John says, where are you staying? Jesus says, come and see. So he follows Jesus, leaves everything to follow Jesus. And he's with Jesus in power on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's with Jesus in the grief of the Garden of Gethsemane. He's with Jesus, the pain and the suffering of the cross. He's with Jesus after the resurrection. He sees him. He takes care of Mary, Jesus' mother. He's transformed and changed by Jesus. He says, I heard him, I saw him, I touched him. So at this point in time, we think that 1 John was written about the same time as the gospel. John is now an old man, maybe 90 to 100 AD, so 60 years or so, more give or take, after the resurrection. John is an old man and he's writing to people that he loves. We think modern day Turkey. He lived in Ephesus for a while. People that he loves, he says, my little children. Children, beloved of God. He loves them. And he's writing because the church, they're a little confused, a little divided because they have teachers that have come among them and said, Jesus, not really God. Other teachers who say, spiritual, spirit is good, body, bad. These people are confused and they're divided and they're trying to figure out what's true. John says, Jesus is real. And you notice what he does not do. Like if it was Paul, Paul might start with some arguments. Like let me show you, prove. John starts with experience. I heard, I saw, I touched that Jesus is real. It reminds me of the J.I. Packer quote. He said, a little knowledge of God is worth more than a great deal of knowledge about him. I think that's what John is trying to tell us. Do we know God? Or do we know a great deal about him? That's what I hope for us too. So let's jump in to John's words in 1 John. Now, as we jump in, John talks in layers. Layer one, layer two, and then it goes back to layer one. So as we read, watch for the layers. There are layers. Join me in 1 John. If you have your sermon notes, go ahead and pull those out. Your Bible, it'll be on the screen. And if you're joining us online, thrilled that you're here. We'd love to have you in person next week. 1 John 1, 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy, your joy, my joy, our joy may be complete. The word of the Lord. All right. John uses poetic sensory language to create layers. Like, you might miss it because it's just block text, but he's using a poetic form, and he's saying, I heard, I saw, I touched, sensory language. And he's creating layers, almost like a 3D printer. Like, if you know, this is the coolest thing in the world. It takes this plastic filament, melts it, and lays it down layer by layer by layer to make a 3D object. Incredible. John's doing basically the same thing. He's using layers. And if you caught it, his layers are Jesus was heard, Jesus was seen, Jesus was touched and proclaimed. And he does that again. Heard, seen, touched, proclaimed. Heard, seen, touched, proclaimed. Fellowship, fellowship, joy. Like, that's this whole passage. John is talking in layers. John uses poetic and sensory language to create layers over two big ideas. Two big ideas. And the first one, right out of the gate, John says that Jesus is eternal. That which was from the beginning. And if you're like me, you're like, wait a minute. Which was from, who was from the, what was from the beginning? Well, he comes back to that. He says the eternal life, which was with the Father. Oh, John, you're talking about Jesus. Yeah. That which was from the beginning, the eternal life, which was with the Father. In other words, Jesus was eternal. Jesus is God. John wants you to see that right at the beginning. Again, remember who he's talking to. A church that is confused and divided because some people are saying, Jesus is not really God. John says, no. I heard him, I saw him, I touched him. Jesus is the eternal God. Which brings us to the next layer. It almost seems very different, almost opposite. He says, Jesus is a real physical person. He is the eternal God, and he is a real physical person. And he keeps saying, we saw, we touched, we heard. Who is this we, John? Well, he's not just talking for himself. He's talking for the other apostles too. He himself, but also Peter. Peter says, I saw Jesus, the risen Christ. Thomas, do you remember Thomas? Thomas, put your hand in my side. Touch me. We, the apostles, saw Jesus. We touched Jesus. Jesus is a real physical person. John wants you to see that. In other words, God has graciously placed himself in our midst for touching, hearing, and seeing. God came to be with us. Now, if we're thinking in layers like John, God is eternal, what does that mean for us? I think the next layer down is that Jesus is God's plan from the beginning. Wasn't a surprise. This is God's plan from the beginning. In other words, God was not in the Garden of Eden going, oh no, they ate the apple, sin, what do we do? Oh, send Jesus. God isn't looking at your life or my life and saying, oh no, Sam sinned, what should we do? Let's send Jesus. No, this was the plan from the beginning, that Jesus would come to save the world. Now, remember we said that John is writing both the gospel and 1 John around the same time. Similar language, similar themes. And so I think you see it in the gospel more clearly. John writes this, in the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. Similar, right? The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus is eternal. Now, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, Jesus was a part of creation. He made everything. The chair that you're sitting on, your body. He made his own body. The wood of the cross that he hung on was all made by Jesus, for Jesus, and through Jesus. It was his plan from the beginning. Not only that, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness will not overcome it. The darkness cannot overcome it. This was God's plan from the beginning. But also, Jesus is a real physical person. So if Jesus is a real physical person, what does that mean? Well, that means that Jesus is with us, Emmanuel. That was the amen line, in case you're wondering. Yeah. Jesus is with us, Emmanuel. Amen. Yeah. So what does that mean? Jesus came to be with us in a real physical body. In other words, he was born. He had to learn how to walk. He went through a really awkward middle school stage. He knew what it was like to be misunderstood, to be criticized. He laughed at a wedding. He cried at the tomb of a friend. He knew what it was like to be betrayed by a friend. He knew what it was like to experience pain and then to die. Jesus came to be with you, Emmanuel. He understands everything that you are experiencing. God came to be with you. You might be thinking, but like, how does it happen? Like, our lead pastor is home healing, or you look at the world around you and you think, like, what is going on? There are wars, financial markets, whatever. It seems like it's total chaos. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus is with you, Emmanuel, and he understands everything that you face, everything that you're experiencing up until now and into the future. Jesus is with you. He came to be with you. And the purpose of all of this, John says, is fellowship, which is kind of a weird word, if we're honest. Like, are we talking about a ship of fellows, or what is this word, fellowship? Fellowship is the purpose, John said. You might almost missed it, but it's in the text. John says that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. That's Jesus, right? Why? So that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship. What is fellowship? Well, fellowship basically comes from the Greek word koinonia. If you were in the church in the 70s, you might have heard this word a lot. Koinonia. It means participation, sharing, communion, or connection. I love those last two words. Communion, connection. That's basically what fellowship is, which means we have connection with God. Here at Emmanuel, we share in something that we call Holy Communion. And as we come together to share in Holy Communion, we are doing what Jesus told us to do. Jesus said, "Remember my death until I come again," which assumes that he rose. So we remember his death, his resurrection, until he comes again. And because of that, we have a deep communion with God. Communion, connection, because of the work of Jesus. We also have connection with each other when we share in communion. But I was confused, okay? Because if I had written the Gospel of John or 1 John, which I didn't, I would have put it in this order. Connection with God, connection with each other. But you see what John did? John tells you about Jesus, how Jesus came. He was eternal God, a real person. And because of that, we have fellowship with each other. And then we have fellowship with God. It's almost reversed in my mind. But then I realized, no, John's trying to tell us something with his layers. We have a connection with Jesus because of who he is, what he's done. And that gives us a connection with each other. And as we experience a deep connection with each other, that deepens our connection with Jesus. They're connected. And it continues from there. We have a connection with each other. And as we connect with each other, we have a deeper connection with Jesus. Or, as author Larry Crabb wrote, this kind of relating depends entirely on deep fellowship with Christ. They're connected. Which reminds me of growing up in a small church in the hills of Pennsylvania. I grew up in a small church. We had maybe 100, a little over 100 on a really good weekend. And once a month, always the first Sunday of the month, we had communion in service. And then afterwards, we would have what we called a fellowship dinner.
Now, if you don't know fellowship dinner, it's church language for everybody bring a casserole and pray for the best. Because you don't know what someone's going to bring, like, right? You just see what happens. So there's casseroles and there's rolls and there's salad and there might be mashed potatoes and who knows whatever else. And there's folding tables. Everybody brings their own plates and their own silverware. And it always seemed like in the middle of the serving line, there was this jiggly, brightly colored bowl of molded jello. And then they would put shredded carrots in the jello, suspended like culinary hostages. I remember sweet old lady saying, "Samuel, you should try the jello salad." And I'm thinking, no, I should not. I remember my mom, she never brought jello salad. She's an amazing cook. I remember my dad telling us, "Kids, don't eat your mom's food. We want to take it home as leftovers." He liked my mom's food. But here's the thing. I think our church, little church growing up, I think they understood something about fellowship. Not because of this. They knew that connection was more than just a quick conversation on the way to the coffee pot. They knew that connection in Christ was more than having a dinner called the fellowship dinner. Because they would worship together. They would share each other's burdens together. They would pray together. They would gather in homes. They lived life together. The house I grew up in was designed by someone in our church, and then people showed up to help build it. Like, they would cry together, live together, laugh together. They knew that there was a deep connection with each other because of Christ. And they didn't just walk away from that. They were connected at a deep, deep, deep level. Even if they had to eat jello with carrots. But it goes deeper than that. Did you know that Jesus prayed for our connection with each other and with the Father? Jesus prayed that they, that Emmanuel, may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This was Jesus' prayer for you and for me, Emmanuel, that we would have a deep connection in Christ. But John's not done yet. He says there is a result from all of this, and the result is your joy, my joy, our joy, that it would be complete. That is the result. Here's the problem. We tend to think that life situations equal joy. Okay, we wouldn't say that. But sometimes don't I act like that? Like, I kind of act like, if I only get that grade, if I only pass that test, if I only get on that team, if I only get that relationship with her or with him, if I only get that car or that house or that job or that retirement or... And we tend to think that life situations equal joy. Or we sometimes think that good behavior equals joy, which is kind of weird, because if you put those two things together, it's basically karma, right? Good behavior sent out into the world equals good life situations with equal joy. But if life situations equal joy, how do you explain that guy? Huh? Like, a lot of people would look at him and go, that's rough. You don't have joy. But look at him. I had a conversation with Josh this week on the phone, sounds like himself, and he said he has had a chance to spend time with Jesus in a unique way. See what he's holding? See what's on the wall behind him? He's holding a Lego DeLorean model from Back to the Future that someone sent him to help him heal. The cards hanging on the wall behind him are from you, Emmanuel. Deep connection. In other words, the truth is that fellowship and connection with Jesus and with other believers, that is what equals joy. That is true joy. Now, you at this point, you might be saying, "Sam, like,
nice message, really appreciate it. You're doing a great job, but I got some questions. Like, how is this really possible? I want to suggest that it comes down to a gospel center. It comes down to a Jesus center. In other words, whether we're talking about salvation or your deep connection with the Lord and with others, you take Jesus out of it, the whole thing falls apart. Jesus, the gospel is the center. Always has been, always will. This is what I mean. Jesus came in the flesh, and he is the one true sacrifice for our sins. He fulfilled all of prophecy. He's the eternal God, came in the flesh. His apostles heard him, saw him, touched him. But here's the thing. Maybe you're like me. You've been here a while. It's easy to noise cancel and just go, yeah, heard that part before. Jesus came for you, one true sacrifice for your sins. Don't miss it. And maybe you're here thinking, you're right. Like, I've got sin in my life. I got stuff I don't know how to handle. I feel distant from God and from other people. God wants to connect with you. And maybe it's today. So we're going to have people down front. We'd love to pray with you and share more about who Jesus is and how he wants a connection, a deep, deep connection with you. Because he came in the flesh, the one true sacrifice. We're going to unpack more of this later with Pastor Denny, but Jesus is also the light. He's not hidden in darkness. If you saw that word, could be like a churchy word, one that we just kind of skip past, we're not sure what it means, manifest. John uses it twice. Manifest means to make clear or to reveal. What does that mean for us? Jesus is light, not hidden in the darkness. In other words, God is accessible to you. He's not hiding in the dark. He is available and accessible to you, and he wants that connection with other people to be equally accessible. God is light. In him there is no darkness, and you don't have to wonder, like, where is God? Who? It's Jesus, and he came for you. He's entirely accessible. But third, I want you to see that Jesus loved us first. John says this. Jesus loved us first. Here's the thing about John. He knew Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He was transformed by Jesus to the point where John in the gospel at times doesn't even use his name. He says, you want to know about me? The number one defining characteristic of my life, above all else, even more than my name, is that I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. And it changes everything. You want to know about me? John says, I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. He says it 6 times in the gospel. Now, you might think, oh, well, what he's saying is that Peter's kind of a jerk, but Jesus loved me. No, he's saying, this is who I am. And this is what knocked me over this week. I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. Jesus loves me. And more than anything else, the defining characteristic of my life can be that Jesus loves me. This I know. You are the disciple whom Jesus loved. You are the disciple whom Jesus loves. Jesus loves you, and that changes everything. That is the defining characteristic of your life if you're a follower of Jesus. And because of that, you can love one another. Sam, with all of his sin and all of his stuff that he's still trying to work through, now has a chance to actually love you. Because apart from that, I can't. You, with all of your stuff, Jesus loved you first. You are the disciple whom Jesus loved, and now you actually have a chance to love one another. Because of Jesus, it's possible. So what's our response? John uses great language. I saw, I heard, I touched. And so he says our response should be to live in the light. Live in the light. But I want to be real practical, not like pie in the sky. Practical. What does this mean?
He's using specific words. Like, for example, he says, I heard, I saw. I think all of that, we can kind of condense that down to know or knowing. How do we know God in a tangible way? I'm going to suggest that we can hear God by sitting in Scripture. And here's what I mean by that. Let God speak first. I've realized I have a temptation to read the Bible because it's one of the things on my checklist. First thing in the morning, read the Bible. It's a good thing, you should do it, but motivation, right? Or sometimes I'm reading the Bible because I need an answer. Like, God, I just really need you to speak. Or it could be because I have a thought, an idea, an opinion, and wouldn't it be better if God agreed with me? So looking for that. Instead of sitting in Scripture and letting God speak first. Letting him speak first without my agenda. Think about it. That's what John is saying. I heard him. I walked on the road with Jesus. I misunderstood Jesus at times. I didn't understand what he was saying. Even when he was pretty clear, as I look back, I totally missed it. There were times I was almost offended by what Jesus said. I was like, yeah, I'm not sure about that one, Jesus. But he listened and he heard. Am I willing to sit in Scripture? Am I willing to listen to the voice of God? I might not like it. It might be awkward, but God wants to speak to me. Am I willing to listen? I need to sit in the Scriptures. Secondly, one of the ways we can know is by seeing. I think this gets a little harder because I think we can only do that if we believe in faith. To see God at work with the eyes of faith in the Word, in my life, in your life, the world around us, eyes of faith. I think that's what it takes. But I'm just gonna tell you, it's hard for me sometimes. But I was comforted this week because I realized something. Jesus knew that it would be hard for me. Jesus was talking with one of his disciples in the flesh, and he said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That means you are blessed. You have not seen, and yet you're able to see with eyes of faith in the Word, in other people's lives. Jesus knew that this would be hard, that it would take faith. And what is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We can see God at work in our lives with eyes of faith. Now, John also says, I touched God. That means that Jesus also touched him, right? He felt the touch of Jesus. So for us, how can we do that? How can we connect or touch, feel the touch of God? One of the ways I think is through prayer. We can connect with God through prayer. And I'm gonna say almost the same exact thing I said about Scripture. I think it takes some time. It can take some time to connect with God in prayer. Because again, I come to God with my agenda, right? I need some answers, I have some problems, and I need them now. But how many times do I just sit and wait? As I get older, I'm starting to notice old married couples or old friends who are hanging out. You see them sometimes at restaurants, other places. And sometimes they're talking, sometimes they're laughing, but sometimes they just sit. They're just together. We have a patio behind our house with two chairs. Every once in a while, Sarah and I end up there at the same time. And we sit there. We have a little stove. Might be have a fire in the stove or we're watching the sunset. I could sit there forever with her. We wouldn't have to say a word. Just the two of us, just sitting there. And I wonder, how often do I do that with God? Just say, God, I'm just gonna sit with you. I just wanna hear you speak. I wanna feel your touch. It's amazing. We're sitting there and I suddenly realize, God made that sunset for me. It's amazing.
He made it for me. But sometimes he just listens and he doesn't speak more times than not. I sometimes wish he would speak more. But there are moments where you can feel almost the touch of God. It takes time. Be willing to take time with God. Also, as John says, I think it's through other people in community. We've been talking about that a lot here, community groups. My wife and I have been a part of a community group. We haven't for a while, but we went through the Re-Engage marriage program here. Highly recommend. And we started to connect with some other married couples here at the church. So we thought, hey, let's try this as a community group, see how it goes. We call ourselves the fun group as opposed to all the dumb groups. I'm just kidding. We're the fun group, and we get together, and I just want to let you know that it's not always like deep connection in Jesus. Like, I don't want to sugarcoat it. Like, sometimes we get together and we just eat food. We just laugh or play a game. But there have been moments with our group, with other groups in the past, where someone said the exact thing I needed to hear. There have been times in the past where my life fell apart and it was my people that showed up, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And it was the touch of God. So I'm not trying to make it sound amazing. Sometimes it's just normal. It's just weird. People are weird. But there are other moments. Connection. Connection. Lastly, John says, tell. He actually uses the word testify, proclaim. Which is good, but I think for me, I sometimes think of that in terms of like, I've gotta be able to have a mini sermon prepared, right? I gotta have that Romans Road, spiritual gifts, or at least like beads on a... But what's interesting to me is that he's again saying, I heard, I saw, I touched. And I wonder if we simplified it, if it would maybe be a little easier. Instead of thinking like, I've gotta have this mini sermon, just what did God do in your life last week? Could be a short, simple thing. But how many times are we sharing those kinds of stories of life change? Like just small, little things. I can just speak from my own experience. When someone else shares a story like that, it encourages my faith so much. Like I'm just so encouraged when I hear someone else's story. But sometimes we just hold on to them. And maybe we just need to tell. You're not gonna believe this small little thing. It's gonna take me 30 seconds, what God did last week. Crazy, you're not gonna believe it, right? Little things. Tell. The ways that God has touched your life, the way that you've heard him, or the way that you saw him work. In other words, ask yourself. Ask yourself, are you living like someone who knows about Jesus? Or like someone who actually knows him? I've been wrestling with that question myself. Because there's times I go both ways, right? It's a hard question. So I'm just gonna give us all a few moments just to sit. Say, God, what are you asking from me? How can I know you? Father in heaven, holy is your name. And God, we thank you that you came, Jesus, in the flesh, eternal God, to have a true connection with us. That you understand us better than we understand ourselves. And God, you make it possible for us to have a connection with each other. God, sometimes we struggle. I know I do. And I find myself talking about you, collecting facts about you, God, instead of spending time to know you or to know someone else. And I just create my own little bubble around me, noise canceling, where everything's good. But God, I pray that you'd help us. Help us in our sin, our insecurity, to find those moments of deep connection that you've designed us for. We love you because you first loved us. And so we pray all these things in your name. Amen.